having a beautiful, beautiful day on this sunny, beautiful autumn morning. Man, autumn. I went to the park today.
Oh.
Met a girl.
Oh.
Sparks flew. She fell to my feet. We had sex right then and there, man.
I know where this is going.
Best decision ever to buy that taser.
Oh, fell right to her feet.
Sparks.
My feet.
Ah!
But you didn't add in that she was also 5 years old.
Mm.
You should stop tasing children in the park.
So pull down your pants and send that girl a fucking dick. If your girl's eating breakfast, boom, send a dick. Is your girl stuck in traffic? Boom, send a dick. Is she at church with her parents? Boom, send a dick. Just whip out that big dick and send that girl a dick.
250 episodes
and 250 yards from every playground that Mike has to be at all times.
Oh, that's so good. I walked right into that one. Episode 2.
That's the official horn of the Skinny with Mike and Adam.
There it is.
Every episode from now on, we'll begin with that.
Actually, did you just hear that music that just played?
It sounded like an up-and-coming rap duo.
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
Whoop! Yeah, we're going to be changing the music from here on out. I think 5 years of The First Among the Fallen
It's officially dead now.
Yeah.
If that music is not going to live on anymore.
Correct.
Now that the band has been broken up for
5 years.
Since 2011.
Yeah.
That's more than 5 years.
Oh, no.
Going on 7 years.
Yes.
But it's okay to let it go.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
I like
destroy.
That music. We hope that you like that music. But now we hope that you like this new music.
But they never heard your vocals.
No.
During our transitions, which I always wondered if that was your fear of judgment.
That there's a little bit of that.
Because
but
Mike
also
often got criticized for his vocalizings.
Yes.
And by criticizing,
I always got like, hey man, you have great stage presence. I love your screaming. I love your singing. And then I get just as many of those of like, your lead singer sucks. But like, it's always
screaming cat.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Rabid cat.
Rabid cat.
Rabid cat from the band. Oh, something romance.
My Chemical Romance.
It was My Chemical
Gerard
Romance.
Gerard Way said,
when
you
Gerard
were a screaming cat.
It, you know it's true. No, it's something like the eternity, whatever. I don't remember.
Forever, yes.
Yeah, eternity forever. I'm glad they're broken up. But welcome to episode 250, everyone. And, you know, we've had people who've listened for 250 episodes. We have people who listen to just a handful of episodes. We've had people who just listened for the last couple years. No matter who you are, welcome to our show. Thank you for supporting us. And thank you, Adam, for making this a reality.
Well, thank you for making this forever ongoing and never ending.
Yes.
I think you're the only one that drives this podcast. But I provide the house to record it in.
Yes.
So therefore, it's a dual effort.
I can't tell if that was some sort of backhanded compliment that you don't want the show to continue.
All it means is that the show is here.
Yeah, it's
and
queer.
And either we don't have a life or, I don't know, we have lives, kind of.
We do, yeah.
You're very poor.
Oh,
I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And avid sportsings that keep my interests.
Yeah.
Often. But somehow we find time to do a little show.
Well, for me,
that brings joy to at least 6 to 10 people.
And
every
upwards
week
of 700, so like
allegedly,
so like 693 people.
I know
around that, you know,
but
listen to it and then like move on
and just move on with their lives. Now, yeah. The 6 to 10 people that interact with the show, that's about as much as I could expect. Because as I've always said, the amount of people that would show up to our band performances was usually between about 6 to 10, maybe 15
people who went there of their own free will.
Yes.
And not people that we guilted into
right
coming to. More about our band later this episode. For the last
right
several weeks, I've been asking you guys, the listeners, to send us some questions and comments and topics and things like that.
So
and
many weeks you've been asking.
So many weeks. But you know, we got a handful of some pretty good questions and topics to talk about this week. So thank you guys for that, for those of you who submitted questions. So we will get to that on this week's episode sometime in the near future.
Finally.
But it's, you know, it's not just our show that we want to celebrate. Shit Rick Says is coming up on their episode 100.
Yes,
whenever that may be. It might be before this episode comes out. Who
well
knows?
Now that Voldemort had to be removed from...
He who shall not be named.
From the Shit Rick Says archives.
Yeah.
Which was crazy because I had already downloaded episode 20, which was a Voldemort episode.
Okay.
So it was like, I had it on my iPod before it got deleted.
Oh.
So I felt like, you know, I got like black market Shit Rick Says episodes.
If anybody wants some of that sweet Voldemort shit, contact the Skinny with Mike and Adam.
And it's so sad because, like, you know, he doesn't say anything that's bad.
No.
But when you live in Canada and you don't have free speech laws.
That's true.
Then apparently this is what happens.
Apparently.
You have to delete men from the internet.
From existence.
From existence.
Not, this is like, the internet,
this is communist Russia kind of shit.
Communist Canada.
They just erased people from photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they never existed.
Yeah, history has been changed
I'm
here.
I'm so sad that Voldemort could not summon the Dark Lords and fight back against Harry Potter.
That's right.
And Justin Trudeau.
Horcrux.
And whoever else is in the Parliament of Canada.
Golden Snitches.
Probably Shane Told.
Shane Told as well. He's part of it. He's part of the wizard community.
I think Geddy Lee is definitely like a vice prime minister if they have one of those.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
And of course, Chad.
But Shit Rick Says is a great show. A lot of great conversations going on there. So go to shitricksays.com to go to their subscription pages, and all the information is there as well.
And within that episode 20 was the first time that I heard Adam Emanon and Rick have a little bit of a tiff with each other.
Ooh.
So this was the beginning of the end when they were talking about Rick wanting to make, you know, rape jokes or rape comments.
Yeah.
And Adam saying, I don't think that's right, guys. You shouldn't be doing that because it takes away from the something about rape is bad.
We're taking back that word, Adam Emanon.
Exactly. And eventually Rick won, obviously, because he's the one with the show.
Yes, his name is on the show.
And by episode 21, they start throwing out the term shenanigans a lot. And Rick is already pissed that he has to change the name of his show for iTunes. And he's like, fuck that, I'm not doing it. But then by episode 21, which is a two-parter, they're saying the term shenanigans a lot.
Ooh.
So I think this is where the change happens.
Ah.
And they say, shenanigans!
Rick is getting censored by Apple. He's getting censored by Adam Emanon.
And by...
You won't handle it
the
anymore.
Canadian military.
And Canadian military,
man,
too.
Man, that's sad. Are we allowed to speak out against the Canadian military?
We don't live in Canada.
I'm glad.
Yeah, communist Canada.
All those gooses.
Communist goose.
So,
it's a great show.
Great show.
Adam, and Rick's always been a
big
supporter of us, so we want to make sure that you guys check that show out as well.
And I'm seriously enjoying it a lot more even now.
You just want to know the co-host drama.
Because it's kind of like, you know, when you jump into a podcast in the middle, like, you miss all of the episodes where they talked about why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, the pieces are coming into place.
Yeah.
As to why Rick is Rick and Adam is Adam.
Mm.
Or maybe he's not Adam. Maybe he's
Amanda.
He
wants to become a different person.
He's Amanda No Name.
Amanda No Name. Why, have you been following up on Emanon?
Well, there hasn't been any news since his July Twitter post of talking about living in the binary world.
You haven't been checking out his dozens of EPs because he doesn't sleep, apparently.
Those were all done years ago.
Right. So. But anyway, on to episode 250. We have just a couple things we want to talk about before we get to your Q&A sessions.
Q&A.
The queer names.
Queer
names. So let's go move on to the feed. Oh, listen to that. New feed music. Now rocking your commute ain't always that easy. Roll down my tinted window so the ladies can see me. The office parking lot is crawling with ladies. And when I'm bumping Taylor Swift, they all want my baby.
That was some great feed. Wasn't that funny? Wasn't that great?
Hilarious!
Hilarious! Who doesn't want to hear that entire song?
If you want to hear that entire song, you should go to drivebycurious.bandcamp.com, Adam.
I'm just laughing so much. My tears.
Adam, calm down! You're convulsing. Every single muscle in your body has been convulsing. You're bleeding out your ears. It's so funny.
Oh, God. I should get that checked, probably.
Your brain is leaking.
I'm so in just stitches.
Friend of the show, Band Vise, specifically Aaron. Yes, Aaron.
Vise.
Aaron Vies.
Carter.
I don't know. We interviewed the guitarist Aaron of the band Vies a couple years ago, and we fell in love with that band's music. We've seen them live. They opened up for
Riot's Records. Gavin Dance.
Dance, Gavin Dance.
Defeat the Low and Alive Like Me.
They opened up for a lot of great bands, and they've been following kind of Will Swan's record label here and there, because every time Kurt Travis, it seems like every time Kurt Travis is in town, Vies will go and open for them in Blue Swan Records bands. But good news for some Vies, if you go to wearevies.bandcamp.com, you can pre-order their brand new EP,
yes,
No Consequence, coming out October 6th.
Nice.
They have a new song out called Smash. If you go to New Noise Magazine, again, look at these guys. They're moving on up.
I hope so.
New Noise Magazine is featuring their music video for their new song, Smash.
And it's very well done.
Very well done.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a nice living room.
So they did a two-song EP in 2016.
Which I was surprised to hear that, because I feel like
I paid the $1.99 for it on iTunes.
Because, you know, I have that?
It's in my iTunes.
Yes.
As long as you don't open up my iTunes and accidentally delete it, like somehow we did this week.
Yes, exactly.
But no, it should be there. And I think it might have been called No Consequence, but I'm probably off on that.
Okay, well, we'll check this out then. We'll see what happens.
You could scroll down. My iTunes is right
there. I'm scared. You're scaring me with your broken iTunes.
It's back now. It's back, and it's there for life.
All right, man. So we got an update now with one of the most highly anticipated things that may or may not come out this year. Brian Fallon shared on his, I don't know who that is. You might like him.
I love him.
You love him?
He like lives in my closet because I'm in love with him so much. And he just sings me songs as I get ready for work every morning.
He means that quite literally.
Yep.
He's duct taped him, hides him in his closet, deprives him of sunlight.
I just duct taped him to his guitar.
Aww.
And I tied him to the chair.
New album sounds great, by the way. I hear him plucking strings. It's more like, help me, I'm going to call the police.
And I force him to make jokes at Mike's expense.
Exactly. The Brian Fallon on Instagram posted this just last week. Okay, the record is mixed and off to mastering. I say, a song comes out this side of the holidays soon.
This side?
Mm-hmm.
So, which holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas?
We'll never know.
Labor Day. So we're on this side of Labor Day.
So give me that fucking song, brain.
So it'll happen on this side of Labor Day.
Also, tour dates coming very soon. Getting ready to gear up and get out there full force. I'm extremely thrilled with this record. Bing. Wait for it. Bing bong. Brian Fallon is a drunk moron sometimes.
Is a drunk uncle.
Is a drunk uncle. So it doesn't seem like we're going to be getting that album. If the new song is going to come out by, we'll say, the Christmas, Thanksgiving holidays, then that new album's nowhere near close to being
Shadow
finished.
Drop
on
double
December
album.
December 31st,
2017.
Right.
Double album Shadow Drop. Happy Christmas to us all.
You heard it here first.
Happy Kwanzaa.
There we go. It's coming out Kwanzaa. He's committed.
I know the Kwanzaa crowd is really gearing up for the Brian Fallon album. But no, I'm super duper duperly stoked.
We have some Brian Fallon related topics to talk about.
If I have to compare a Brian Fallon album to science fiction, though, it's going to be a little tough.
So maybe it's best that it does kind of peek over to 2018.
Yeah, but then again, I don't want to wear Packers gear.
Those bets are getting pretty close to me. I was looking at them again. I was like, I might actually lose this.
The official scorecard is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out in December.
We'll do it then. We'll do it then. So,
okay.
Let's move on to the bulk of this episode, what we've been overhyped, but, you know, it's still going to be great.
Is it hate crimes?
Not this time, baby.
Harkening back to the early skinny days.
Uh-huh. Did you know that Lowe's harassed a lesbian couple?
No.
We just wanted to bar a barbecue.
They just wanted to return their barbecue.
They just wanted to return their barbecue. And those wanted to return their barbecue. Call them slurs, man. Don't listen to early skinny episodes. We're way past that.
I thought it was Home Depot, but I can't ever remember which
whatever
one it, was.
It was. Those homos. Damn homos.
Those homos and their grills.
On the plate.
With my cock out, serve it to you on a plate, baby. Turn that ass around, shake it like a shake weight. Wanna make love, wanna give it nice and slow. Gonna smack you in the face, bitch, my dick is yours to blow. Gonna chiz on the walls and make you get me a towel.
Alright, man, so again, thank you guys very much for these questions and topics for us to go through. Really appreciate it. And
I'm still laughing at the music, though. I can't stop the laughing.
Well, Adam, after this show, you can go to drivebycurious.bandcamp.com to listen to two albums worth of comedy rap.
For some reason, that phrase is more funny.
Why?
Because of all the time and effort that must have been put into them, which was so little.
It's okay.
Little.
We didn't do a thing. It was two
You mixed and
rappers.
Recorded them.
Oh, yeah.
They
I
just,
was at gunpoint.
They just put the beat down.
I took a lot of drugs and therapy to block that out of my memory, Adam.
That's true. That was a lot of therapy, all three sessions.
But I'm okay now. Repressed memories.
Psychotropic medication cures all.
So let's go through some of these music-related ones, and we have a couple...
Can we just say, the people that took the time to make these questions,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yes, I appreciate that too, and it means a lot to us that we have people who are willing to participate and reach out to us and, you know, and...
Give us a little bit of validation.
Yes, validate this show that we do.
A little bit of 5 years of our lives.
We know that podcasting is a very... like non-interactive medium, so people who actually took the time to visit our Facebook page or email us, like, it means a lot to us. So
yes,
you know, we joke around all the time, like, oh, there's only 7 people who listen to the show. It is like in the triple digits, and I see the
analytics
every week and everything, so we get like a good number of people who listen. But the people who actually interact with us, that does mean a lot. So it adds faces to the people that we try to entertain every week. So
darn tootin'.
We appreciate that. So
Thank
let's start
you.
With some of these kind of... This is a music-related show, music-centric show. So let's start with some of these that were sent to us by our listener, David.
David Shomo Dance?
David Shomo Dance.
Okay.
David, I don't want to do last names. Plus, I only did like first names on this one anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So he sent us a handful of music-related ones. So let's start with this first one here. So which... album artwork best captures the theme or emotion of an album? He left his answer. My answer: They're Only Chasing Safety by Underoath, which, if you don't know, is a close up of a young woman wearing like an oxygen mask, very striking green eyes.
Ooh, yes,
yeah.
That was back in the days of you could be a model,
yeah,
and just make a pretty picture, and you could end up on an album.
Who knows?
There's so many bizarre albums out there. Or album art out there of just pretty girls like holding things.
A Skylit Drive.
Exactly. She's holding the world.
She's holding the wires.
Or she's bursting out of water.
Yeah, how many A Skylit Drive albums have like pretty girls on there? There's
at
the
least
first
two.
One, Wires and the Concept of Breathing. She's like bursting wires out of her gut and she's like holding them like, oh my God.
Yes.
And then the woman who's like bursting out of water.
I'd like to go with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Ah, that classic album art.
I don't know if you want to bring it up on the iTunes. It's okay. iTunes is safe.
Okay.
But this one, I guess I have to do more of a visual because it's Anthony Kiedis' girlfriend at the time, which was girlfriend number
74.
803 out of 2006. I'm not going to go with Blood Sugar Sex.
Oh, yes. That's
I'm going to go with
the band.
Mother's Milk.
Mother's Milk.
Go, there it is.
There it is.
So she's cradling the band while her boobies are out.
Yes.
She is topless. Now, is there a nipple shown? I don't believe there's a nipple.
No, Anthony Kiedis is looking up at her right. Oh, she's like, Anthony Kiedis is blocking her right boobie, and her left boobie is being covered by a rose.
Yes. So she's cradling the band while they hover around her boobies.
So this album artwork shows me
speaks
that
to me.
Speaks like the music's going to be like sexy and kind of raw, maybe a little bit kind of like kinda emotional,
risque. Maybe it's their burst into the mainstream. I don't know. Maybe one of these songs will move on to become one of the hits of the year 2000. As in, come come my baby, come come my baby.
You're my butterfly, sugar
baby. So that's what this album art screams to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mike?
So album art for me, like I stopped, there was a lot of, back in the day when I used to get music from Best Buy, I mean I still get music from Best Buy and iTunes
all the time. You're there by yourself
all
every
the time.
Day, purchasing hundreds of dollars
so many
per
albums.
Day.
Anyway, well, back in the day, like album art was very important to me, and like a lot of times, like I would see an album art and purchase an album just based on the album art. Man. Because the album art, like it spoke to me in a
I don't know
in
how you can
way.
Trust that so much.
That's a weird thing.
That's really strange.
Like, you're literally judging a book by its cover by
exactly.
doing that.
Exactly.
I remember, but I got burned a lot by doing that.
Yes, I can imagine.
There was this band called Diffuser back in the day. I don't know if you've ever heard
no,
of them.
No,
like,
I have not.
They had, like, one single that didn't go anywhere. And then, like, the album art was was this high school. There's lockers and everyone. Everyone's in class. Except for this young couple, where you can see a young boy's feet are, like, on the floor. He's laying on the floor with a young lady cradling on top.
Oh, okay. So he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Most children go to school to get murdered.
Correct.
But he's going to school to have sex.
He's
going to
have sex, baby.
Ooh,
so I was like,
right,
oh, this is some
hallway.
Sexy pop punk. And then I listened to it, and it's like, it's the most generic album I've ever heard. So maybe that's not the best example, but
maybe
I
not.
Think to answer the question, an album art, because like I said, I used to go through album arts and booklets a lot. From First to Last, Heroin, which if you just look at the front cover of it, it just says Heroin with like tree roots coming out from the font. But
yes,
if you flip through the album art, it's the band interacting with the character of the heroine, and one of them is like is at a lakeside, and, like, he's rescuing her. The other one's like in a bed, like as if they just made love. Another one
why am I thinking that Heroin is just a white cover that says Heroin on it?
Because it is. But if you go through the album art, like
the
booklet.
The album art.
Yes,
okay.
The booklet. That's what I mean. I'm sorry. Sorry if I misdirected you. But like in one of them's like holding.
Gotcha.
Holding her hand, like as laying down in a white room. Like the album art really evoked like the weird darkness, but also interesting atmosphere of the album. And I thought that was a cool thing that they did.
That
like they didn't have to do that. And I appreciate when bands go above and beyond and make like give you like a nice visual to go along with the music.
True, because
what
has always happened, no matter what, whatever the album artwork is, that's the visual I have in my head
right.
while I'm listening to the entire album.
So it's a cool way,
which is why They're Only Chasing Safety throws me off.
You think so?
Nothing about that album artwork says
anything.
She has
a haunting look on her face, though. You know.
Yes, but come on.
Okay. Well, you know, as with all art...
Not to put down our fan.
Yeah, but as with all art, you know, it's open to interpretation.
Yes.
But on the topic of Under Oath, I think the album art for the deluxe edition of Define the Great Line really adds to the atmosphere. Even just the album art itself, which is just a man who is kneeling down. It's dusk in the middle of a desert, and he's starting to fade away. That adds a really haunting atmosphere to that whole album. So even just that one page, there's album artwork in the booklet as well that kind of expands on that. But
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Under Oath was really great about adding atmosphere to
it. We can go on for days about album artwork because
we won't.
I could even say, you know, well, there's a lot of grunge bands that have some good album artwork.
Oh yeah,
just to see that Pearl Jam has stayed together for as long as they do,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at 10, where it's just five of them giving each other a high five.
Yeah.
Kind of like in that pre-show, like, let's have a little huddle and get on the same page.
Keith F.
And, yeah. That was ours back
in
the day.
Whee!
And just to see that band has survived for 26 years now.
Uh-huh.
Music getting worse or better is up to interpretation.
Right.
But, you know, that kind of said something there at the beginning of their career.
Next question from
David.
Okay. Did Dance Gavin Dance start an entire new genre of music all by themselves? Examples: Hail the Sun, Idola, Stolas, Oranges, CNVAR, and Wolf and Bear. David gives his answer: yes. At least I can't find a band similar to their sound before them. So Dance Gavin Dance started off around like 2005, 2006 with their EP and whatever the first album's name was.
First lead singer.
Downtown Battle Mountain. There we go.
One.
And I remember back in the MySpace days, everyone was talking about this interesting band, Dance Gavin Dance. And I was like, oh, I'll give them a chance sometime. And then I finally listened to the music on the music player on back in the day.
Yes.
And I remember being blown away by how interesting it was. How it was like, how it was hardcore music, but it was but it incorporated jazz and funk elements.
The technicalities of the musicianship.
Yeah, and how intricate like the guitar work was. And I remember not listening to any band similar to that. Since then, we have gotten bands like CNVar and Strawberry Girls.
Did anybody sound like that prior? I guess
I know.
We've listened to a lot of bands. Nobody was really doing that kind of technical work that Will Swan was doing in 2006.
Since then, of course, yes. I mean, I think every band on the Blue Swan record label sounds exactly like that now.
Yeah, everybody's kind of stealing it in a way.
Yeah. Really, so, it has been like 11 years since that album came out, so you're gonna have copycats.
I mean, Dance Gavin Dance seemed to be the only one doing it right.
Right.
I mean, Hail the Sun is great and all, but it's not at that level.
But Dance Gavin Dance has that magic.
Yes.
They seem to have the it factor when it comes to I think I've coined the term funk core. So I'm gonna keep it. Dance Gavin Dance is funk core. All rights reserved.
And what was I going to say outside of that? I cannot remember. Oh, having that Tilly and Pearson factor.
Oh, yeah. And I think they've perfected that sound at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mothership notwithstanding.
Mothership is fine.
Mothership is weird.
Three songs on it are weird.
Yes.
The rest you love. Therefore, apparently that album doesn't count.
Worst album ever. number three. Most shows offer VIP tickets. From a marketing standpoint, why wouldn't some artists not provide this option? My answer, they are earning double the ticket money by offering this to fans. For some bands, I'd pay for it. I usually have artwork I want signed anyway, but it's an easy, why the hell not? So why wouldn't some bands offer VIP tickets, like a meet and greet kind of?
I didn't even realize there were bands out there not offering that.
That's true. Well, I think it's mostly like bigger bands.
Remember when we went to see Amity Affliction and their roadie was walking up and down the line saying, if anybody wants to come in and meet the band, it's $20 for VIP.
Apparently nobody wanted to meet at Amity Affliction, I guess.
And you and I sat there like,
do you have $20?
I don't got $20 in my wallet.
Oh, man.
I'd love to do that, but, you know.
We've got
to
pay for parking. I don't
not at the Glass House.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Well, we think we paid like $2 for parking. But, yeah, I didn't even realize bands weren't doing that, but...
To answer the question, why wouldn't some bands do it? Like, I don't think a lot of bands have that fan base, really. Like, maybe some bands just don't have the fan base to feel like to justify that kind of price.
Hmm. I guess. Because they usually only charge like an extra $20 usually.
Sometimes. But
then
like,
you're pushing it into like the $50 range.
Yeah.
If it's like a $30 show.
Dance Gavin Dance does weird things where like, oh, come... do a meet and greet, meet the band, you get an autograph, you get a balloon, and then you get some weird like merch.
You get playing cards. Dance Gavin Dance playing cards.
Like, okay. That's a weird VIP package, but like me personally.
Johnny Craig's head on a bullseye.
Have you ever paid for a VIP package?
No, I kept on saying we should try that one of these days, and we never did, and then my interest went away.
Yeah, for me, like, I am okay not ever really doing it. Like, I do it for, like, a couple bands. I don't feel like I need to justify that purchase for every band. Like,
and when,
if they'd give us an interview, I'd be happy to pay that money. But
when you go see a band where the possibility of running into them on the sidewalk outside the venue...
That's never happened to
us ever.
...is
pretty high.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you need to pay an extra $20 to talk to them and have a very bizarre conversation. So, how's it going? How's the tour? When's the next album coming out? Are you... fun in real life? Do you have any hobbies? Like, why do you always wear black and white striped shirts?
Have you ever abused your girlfriend?
We have nothing in common with these people except the fact that
we
like the same music that they do.
Yeah.
But they know more about music than we do. So I don't have any interest in that.
Yeah. But I think you and I come from a different kind of perspective on there. So I can see the appeal of like some 14-year-old girl wanting to pay VIP tickets to see All Time Low. Like,
that would
oh my
make
god,
perfect
I fucking
sense.
Love your haircuts.
If it's only $20 for All Time Low,
the first time I masturbated was to your music. Oh my god.
To your 2007 Alternative Press cover.
Oh my god, the way it swoops to the right. Ah!
And I'm only 27 now. Oh, sorry.
I have four kids thanks to you. Number four.
So, for us, I think we're just out of the demographic to care, right?
Yeah, but like I said, I definitely...
But from a marketing standpoint...
It makes sense.
Go for it.
Yeah, why not? But for me personally, I'd pay VIP ticket money to go meet Jeff Rickley. I think he is an interesting dude who has a lot to say. I'd have a lot to say to him.
He has... Well, sure. I'll take your word on that.
But apparently he has some sort of thing where he doesn't want to come to the West Coast ever again, Jeff Rickley and Thursday.
It's the best coast?
The best coast.
East Coast is the least coast?
I know.
I don't know what that means, but I made it up right now.
All rights reserved. Number four.
A lot of trademarks in this episode.
What iconic band from our scene of music might be slightly overrated and is fueled simply off nostalgia? My answer, Brand New. That should piss some people off.
Did he wrote these questions before the new album came out.
Yeah, because he messaged us back talking about how he liked it, how he enjoyed like science fiction and stuff like that. But yeah, that's an interesting question. What do you think
purely
about that brand
off
new
nostalgia?
What do I think of... there's some truth to that fact that Brand New is overhyped.
Prior to the album coming out, I had no interest in seeing them live. And now the album came out, and I was like, I need to see this band live.
Right.
But I didn't. They came to San Bernardino and went.
But even just saying like Brand New is like over... I feel like people hold them to this high pedestal.
And they
the
deliver.
Album, they have they put out great albums, don't
they
get me wrong.
Deliver.
But people are like talking about them like they're going to change music. I don't think so.
And they did.
And they did.
With science fiction.
Number one album
of all time.
Ooh. I don't know, but I can see how people like would not like this band, would hear all the hype, listen to their music, and be like, oh, that was all right.
Well, who else besides all of the My Chemical Romance solo projects?
My Chemical Romance, I don't know, are they overrated?
The solo projects are, but people will go see them because they were in My Chemical Romance.
Because they're holding on to the hope that, oh, this is the show where Gerard's going to announce the My Chemical Romance reunion.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
So who else? Are we talking like a band that was big in the mid-aughts?
An iconic band from our scene.
Like from first to last?
Yeah.
Because they sure have not held up.
I think a lot of the from first to last hype now is because Sonny Moore is back in the band.
For one
Sonny
song.
Moore of the band Skrillex.
For one song.
For one song.
I know.
I'm still holding out hope that there's a full album out there.
There weren't any other songs that came out with him after that Peach with the barbed wire thing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So who else from the mid-aughts like was super big besides like Finch or something
Under Oath is one of the biggest hardcore bands in our scene nowadays.
Yes.
Would you say that they're underrated or are they perfectly rated?
Well, judging by how many people at the Bring Me the Horizon show had never heard of Under Oath.
Oh, no.
I don't think they have the staying power.
I think that's more for people like our age, you know, who listened to their music when it first came out.
Even when we saw them at Self Help in 2016.
People were only there to see A Day to Remember. Oh, Day to Remember! Overrated!
For sure.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry if you're a Day to Remember fan that you love them. That band is overrated.
What was the name of the last album?
Bad Vibrations.
Bad Vibrations. Yeah. I don't think any old fan likes that album.
I like some of the songs on there.
We equally agreed it was one of the worst albums of the last year.
Yes, but Bad Vibrations is a great song.
But I'm thinking that most of their fans were not big fans of that album.
Because they only want to hear da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, and... Common courtesy.
We want Fat Lip.
Because I can't lump Sum 41 in that because they're playing appropriate venues like the Glass House.
Correct.
Or like the House of Blues.
I think
which is
I
perfect
think
Sum
for them. 41 knows their place now.
And they know their fans are all in their 30s.
Correct.
And they're not
only
trying to appeal.
Hear Fat Lip. Yeah.
And they only want to hear Fat Lip, which killed me so much inside. So, yeah. So, Day to Remember falls into that vein. Mm-hmm. I think Under Oath, I mean...
Under Oath is getting there. I think Under Oath
until they
knows
can,
their place, too.
Until they headline, like, a really giant tour, which I guess they can't.
Not on pure nostalgia. Well, you know what? They can't.
It's all pure nostalgia
all
at this point.
That's all
it is with them now. 2010 was the last album.
Yeah.
So...
As much as I love Under Oath, I can understand them being overrated.
And ever since the Bring Me the Horizon tour, they haven't done any more touring, right?
They've done, like... little festivals here and there. They haven't done like you said, they haven't done like a full headline thing. Yeah.
So yeah, I think those would be the main ones, right?
Yeah.
Under Oath, A Day to Remember, Brand New to some extent, although I feel that they still are fucking awesome.
I think Brand New gives off a pretentious vibe.
Yeah.
Like especially Brand New fans, I think, give off a pretentious vibe.
Well, especially if you're holding on to just Daisy being the only album.
Right.
Then it was just like, okay, fuck you, Brand New.
Yeah.
But then They fucking hit it.
Oh,
and it like changed my perception on the band.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really did.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, they can do whatever they want. If they want to break up, if they want to stay together forever, kill themselves, whatever. I don't know.
2018, baby.
Either way.
So long.
Either way, we'll see if that new album comes out in November.
All right. I like this next question.
Okay.
Who did a better job for Chiodos? Brandon Bulmer or Craig Owens?
We already know the answer to this question.
My answer? Nostalgia rides on Craig Owens. However, Bulmer killed it.
Ugh.
His vocals were unlike anything I've heard, especially with the piano in the background. So I'd say Bulmer is the correct vocalist. Well, David, you are correct.
Ding, ding,
you
ding,
win.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Beow, beow, beow. Oh, dude, we, like, I don't know if
Illuminatio was...
is the best Chiodos album.
Yeah. It was one of my perfect albums in my top 20, I believe. Yeah. I can't remember the exact number. But yeah, of course, Illuminatio is the standout of the entire
Even one of the weaker songs on Illuminatio, like Those Who Slay Together, Stay Together.
Yes.
I border on like not liking that song. That's still one of the best Chiodos songs
I know
they've ever written.
It's like just that line is not that great.
Yeah.
I feel like the rest of that chorus is
great.
Really good.
Yeah. So it's sometimes one line.
I can't hit that note.
And I don't think Bulmer has the range that Craig Owens does, because Craig Owens could do hardcore, he can do pop punk, he could do acoustic rock, he can do pop, he can do hip hop.
Allegedly.
Allegedly? You like that Bad Channel.
I just said allegedly. Oh. He can do it.
But
he's only done 4 or 5 songs or so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, 9 songs, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new
but
4.
But as far as like the career of Chiodos, you're right, Brandon Bulmer did kill it. When we went to go see Chiodos live, we were interviewing people when they co-headlined with Bless the Fall. And a lot of people didn't seem to be digging the Illuminatio stuff.
We already knew that.
Yeah.
Coming into that we were in the minority.
I was kind of shocked, to be honest. I was expecting people like, oh yeah, Illuminatio is great, but I'm glad that Craig was in the band.
Well, since I jumped into Chiodos first with Illuminatio and then went backwards, I'm skewed. But I definitely felt like, you know, even when you're listening to the first two albums, that it's missing something. But then you remember that they're like 20 years old, and you're just
there's
a bunch of high school kids playing music very well. But
Devil, which came out 2014, like that's a great album. I think that's a great Craig Owens album.
It's not the best.
Yeah,
it's not the best.
I think if you had that album exactly the way it was, but swapped Craig Owens for Brandon Bulmer, I think it probably would have been a miss. So that album was perfect for Craig Owens. Illuminati was perfect for
I can't
Brandon
see
Bulmer.
Brandon Bulmer singing something about 3 a.m.
At 3 a.m.,
yeah. That song that I was on the fence all year long. Like, I guess this song's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a shame, though, that we're never going to see those Illuminatio songs ever. We're never going to see Chiodos again, potentially. But
we just get that half-assed version of one Illuminatio song that became a drug song that they still play.
It was a Chiodos song first that became a drug song that they turned back to Chiodos.
Yeah, that's the half-assed version that we get.
Yeah, whatever.
Thank you. You talk about. Sorry.
Thank you very much, David, for the questions. Let's move on to a first-time writer to or first-time contributor to the show. It goes by the name Adam.
Adam, not
the lesser Adam,
not with a G. The lesser.
See, he sent us a couple of questions. This one I think will be fun to discuss.
And we just got these like recently.
Yeah, just this past week.
I didn't even like have time to read through them, so these are all fresh.
Okay.
To me.
Well, this one. Well, let's go through this one first because it's something that we're both not familiar with. So, this is question the second. Did you guys ever get into Dave House's solo stuff after the Loved Ones split? So, short answer: no, we've never heard of either of those things. But he goes on to continue.
I was gonna say, I hope Mike's heard of this because
I
haven't.
I messaged him back that we've never heard of any of this, but we'll clarify on the show.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of his work, especially the Devour album. It might be the most important album of my life, along with Brian Fallon's Painkillers. Perfect albums at the perfect times, you know.
Whoa. Well, then we need to listen to that shit.
Yeah,
we
love getting recommendations from our listeners as well. So we've had a lot of success with people recommending us albums and like falling in love with that as well. So we'll go check out David House's Devour and as well as the Loved Ones, because I looked them up as well. They only have like 2 albums out before they split.
Okay. I'm still getting through all of Mike's best of...
Oh, my God.
Hundreds.
Still
so many.
So many
to go.
The first question he asked, on the scale from 1 to 2, with 1 being very pumped and 2 being very, very pumped. Very odd scale. It's like my worst album ever, best album ever.
Exactly.
How pumped are you to know that Brian Fallon's next solo album is off to mastering and is ready for release in the coming months? What are you hoping this album to be, and what direction do you think he'll be headed? I heard rumors about horns. I'm down for horns. if there's horns in this album, I'm going to be stoked on those.
It's literally one of the best questions I've ever heard in my entire life.
I'm down for horns, too.
I know, and I watched a lot of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of questions in my life, but this is one of the best.
Yeah, so how stoked are you?
Well, I got to go with the two.
From on a scale from 1 to 2, I put 345. I'm really stoked on Brain Fallon's next record. What are you expecting from it, though?
Man, it's like I don't want too much change. You know, as much as you want an artist to continue to evolve.
And I think he can get away with making a Painkillers Part 2, but I don't think that's what he's going for.
Well,
especially if these rumors for horns come to pass.
Because when you see the definite change between Handwritten and Get Hurt, still fantastic,
yes,
nonetheless. Can he make like a Painkillers to something new? I mean, the dude's probably, it's a natural progression to move on to horns and then eventually synth.
Right.
You know,
so many synth intros.
He's going to get to the synth intro and eventually just go full EDM.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
He's going to go on tour with Skrillex.
But let's start with horns and see what happens.
Yeah.
He recorded it in
New Orleans. Yeah.
Where there's a lot of horn influence.
A lot of jazz influence down there, baby.
But also a lot of Mojo Hand influence.
Yes, which makes me worried because Mojo Hand was the weakest song for me, at least on Painkillers.
I can dig it.
Yep.
We've already discussed how
that
song is. There's something about that song.
I'm wrong.
There's just something about that song that has
it's unique.
Fractured the fan base, right?
Ooh.
Don't you think? Like a lot of people struggle with that.
Wars have been fought
over
the song Mojo Hand.
It's like Civil War 2016.
Expectations are high, but I would not be surprised at the very least if it was just the Painkillers Part 2. If it was something completely new, like with like some jazz rock album, like I'd be stoked for that. Because if anyone could pull that off,
I know.
Brian Fallon can do that.
I'm just wondering where else he could kind of go.
Yeah.
I mean, just with it purely being a solo album.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if it was a Gaslight album, there'd be a lot of other possibilities.
Painkillers was a good solo effort that had Gaslight influences on there, which is kind of what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting too much of a deviation from his work in Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's had a bunch of side projects that I've never heard of too.
Molly and Her Zombies.
Yeah, which I've still to this day haven't heard of.
That's the only other one.
Because I can't seem to find anything official that
there's some YouTube
SoundCloud links somewhere.
There's some YouTube recordings, they're called clips. And then, I don't know, I wish Low Love would end up on this next album, because that song is fucking incredible.
Yes, that is a great song.
We've only heard it live once,
mm-hmm,
and then there's a live version of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, I can understand if that was, like, too much of a Painkillers B-side.
Yeah.
I would have loved a Painkillers Deluxe Edition to get a few more other tracks out.
18 more tracks.
But I'm very optimistic, obviously, but,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to shoot your load too early, I guess.
Yes, but if anyone could shoot their load multiple times with the same amount of volume and girth, it's probably Brian Fallon. We're overhyping him.
It's okay. It's okay.
So we got
he is the one.
Yeah.
He's the chosen
one. He's our true love.
Stonecutters for life.
You are the chosen one!
Would I pay an extra $20 for VIP?
Yes.
He didn't even offer it, remember?
Oh,
there wasn't even like a possibility.
Oh, we did talk about that. We wanted to at least like see if we were going to do that.
I know.
Damn you, Brian Fallon.
But
you cocky motherfucker. Why can't you buy us whiskey from the bar?
Exactly. Anyway.
So we got a last batch of questions here from a frequent contributor to the show, Brandon. And he asked us, and he's asking us some kind of like stuff. It's music related, but like, you know, personal to us, actually.
Ooh, personal.
So how would you describe the style of the band you guys were in?
Oh.
So we were in two bands together. We started off, we met because Adam answered an ad for a new drummer that we needed for the band from The First Among the Fallen.
In way back in December of 2007.
Correct. We met during the holidays at that time.
I went to, my wife went to PetSmart in San Bernardino. And it was a cold, blustery December eve,
mm-hmm,
and I said, I need to go to Starbucks to get me some coffee. And so she went to buy guinea pig litter, like we did once per month back in those days. And I looked at the wall, and there
community
was this
wall.
This beautiful vision of what later became an album cover.
Yes.
Of a, you know, fallen demon, I suppose it was.
It's a fallen female angel thing.
And I said, that's interesting. And it said drummer needed. And I was like, well, I'm in another band with my friend Cameron, but he seems to be more interested in not playing in a band with me and seeking vagina as an option.
Oh.
So, you know, there was a lot of like, hey, let's get together and practice. And Adam would show up and Cameron wouldn't.
That's so shitty.
There were some low days before we got the band off the ground. Because it was just him and me for 6 years.
Because when you got Adrian, it seemed like you guys were practicing a lot more than we were.
Right, but we didn't get Adrian until February 2008.
Right.
So in December 2007 and the months prior, it was just Cameron might show up, Cameron might not show up.
We'll see.
Because apparently vagina is sometimes a bigger call than music. So anyway, 2007, I see this ad. I tear rippings off of it, and it says, looking for a drummer for a post-hardcore band.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's post-hardcore?
Yeah, and I remember
never heard of this.
You emailed me.
No, I called
it called?
Yes, the next
I remember day. Reading a message or something where you asked, what is post-hardcore? It sounds sick.
Sick as in
as
good?
In the positive sick?
I don't know. It sounds like
it sounds
makes
like
me want
a
to
terminal
vomit.
Illness.
Because I remember the next day, I went to an alleged Cameron practice, and while I waited for him to show up, I was like, I should probably call this number, just because...
A number for a band that will actually practice.
There's a possibility that these guys might actually have potential and, you know, songs and connections to the music industry. You know, my 26-year-old, 7-year-old brain was just lighting up with ideas
and
of what could be there.
I was 20 at the time, too. Yeah.
Mike was a young buck of 20.
Yes, waiting for my then-girlfriend, future wife, future ex-wife to give birth to my daughter, Zoe. She was very pregnant at the time.
Somehow we formulated a practice within that week.
Correct.
And I went to Mike's little tiny 2-bedroom apartment.
Yep. And we played in the living room.
In the middle of the ghetto of San Bernardino, which, you know, I only live 2 blocks away. So,
you know, it's fine.
It worked out well because all their former drummers had lived 30 plus miles away.
Yeah, the drummer before you, I think his name was Jason, he lived in Yucaipa. So we had
Somewhat close to San Bernardino.
Yeah, but we all had to drive over there, and our second guitarist at the time, Eric, lived in Rialto, so it was kind of a drive for him.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
That's
one city past the dreaded Colton.
Yeah, you were the last member to join the band before we started, like, actually writing songs together.
Yes.
So we just met Bug prior.
Yes. Bug was our bass player, who was a 17, 16-year-old kid at the time.
Correct, yeah.
Who had never played a lick of bass in his life, but wanted to play bass, goddammit. So, and then your friend, our friend now,
yes.
Mark.
It was his idea to start the band.
He was the guitar player.
He was the guitar player, yeah. And then he briskly moved to Canada like a few months later. I'm like, well, shit.
Well, you and Bug and Mark had started the band how long before I joined? I always forget.
Back then the band was called The Modern Hymn.
Yes.
More on that later. But we started that around like July or August of that same year,
of 2007. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys had already come up with about 5 songs at that point.
We came up with some ideas. They were drumless songs. So we recorded them on like a little tape player.
It was a lot of a dump, dump, dump. Dump, dump, dump. Well, Mike sang his soaring vocals and screamed, and Mark came up with guitar riffs that didn't really
sink in time,
fall into any time signature.
Right.
Because he was going for like a Tool kind of thing.
Yeah, he's going for like a weird time signature. Whatever the guy, what's his name from Tool?
I can't remember.
That guy.
I know the drummer. I don't know anybody else.
That guy. He's going for like a weird thing. And then we finally got like drummers to play with, and he had to, which forced him to actually, you know, play in time.
And Bug just kind of like hit random notes here and there. Bum, 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 bum. That was the extent of our bass.
It was very raw and dirty back in the day. But you know, when we finally got Adam in the band, like we started actually like. The music writing was a lot tighter.
Because I had been writing songs with Cameron for 7 years at that point, so I at least knew how to write a song. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, guys, we've got to put this in some sort of structure.
Yes.
And if we do everything in 4-4, we're going to have a lot more fun
than
doing everything in like 9-8 and shit like that.
Mark.
I was like, I'd love to be able to learn new drum patterns and stuff, but nobody's going to want to listen to this shit, and it's really hard to play.
Let's do stuff that people can get into first.
Yes.
So, so we started writing songs. We started writing like softer songs and harder songs and songs in between. and things like that. So fast forward to a couple years later, we are introduced by our friend Brendan to this guitarist named Frank. And
yes, in 2009.
Something like that.
Because there was so much other drama that went on between 2007
So we'll fast forward through all that kind of stuff. Unless you guys want to hear it, we'll talk about that some other time.
2008 was one of the greatest years of my life. Let's just put it that way.
Let's
see. So much teenage poon thrown about that I never touched.
Oh, my.
But I could have.
Ooh.
But remember, I didn't.
Poon.
Teenage.
The best kind. But what do you call it? So we were introduced to our new guitarist, Frank. By our roadie Brendan, who's our good friend now.
Yes.
And the songwriting just was a lot more constant at then, because Frank was very, like, he's like Will Swan good.
Yes, I would say that he didn't listen to Dance Gavin Dance, but no. He was very much sounding like
that. But he was very technically inclined like Will Swan, but he could still write, like, dirty riffs. And then very technical riffs as well, like,
and solos.
And solos too. Like, he was very good, very
and
talented.
That's his guitar playing on the former.
Yes, all the music clips that you heard, like in the transitions of our segments, that's our guitarist Frank.
Yeah,
like complemented by our second guitarist who we introduced at the time, Joe.
And those recordings were done at my house or in our old practice space.
Were those all Redemption songs? Those were all Redemption songs,
right? I believe so.
Okay, so those are all in their practice space. Yeah.
Okay.
So we were called The First Among the Fallen. You can probably still find some of the music on SoundCloud, as I think the Facebook link doesn't work anymore, or the music on the Facebook link doesn't work anymore. The band name was The First Among the Fallen. And did you guys ever get to open for any big touring bands? And if so, who?
Well, there was a couple.
We opened for a few big bands.
I wouldn't say that they asked us to open for them, more as
we got thrown in.
We got thrown in by paying hundreds of dollars to play at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A.
So one of the bigger bands that we opened for was Wednesday 13.
Who I still have never heard of.
Me neither, but Bug was super stoked on opening for him.
Yes.
And our other guitarist at the time, Johnny, was a big fan of his.
This was in early 2008.
Correct.
When we played a lot of shows and thought like we were going places.
Well, we were playing a lot of shows.
And maybe I was playing more because I was in two bands at that time.
You were playing a lot. Yeah.
And I was playing at the Whiskey a lot.
Yeah.
To the point that I was running out of money.
Yeah.
Because nobody else in these bands had like a job or money
that
they could put into the effort. So
I put in as much as I could, but like, oh man,
I was like,
82.
Oh. I was like, oh babe, I just had to take $600 out of our savings account so we can play the Whiskey. And she was like, no, you're never doing that again.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I have to, it's the Whiskey. No, it's never, never happening.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like not telling her how much money I was taking out of the savings account.
Oh boy.
So it was bad.
Yeah. So we held back on playing LA shows a lot.
So we gave up on that dream early.
This is why we need label support, I suppose.
I guess so. There
was Wednesday 13, we opened for this European female vocalist, Doro.
Yes.
Yeah. That was
and
a fun
Droid.
Show. Droid, yeah.
Wasn't there a band called Droid?
That was our first show.
Yeah, we opened for them. We were the first fucking band at the Whiskey on like a 7-band bill.
Yeah.
And like people are still getting patted down, including our fans.
Yes.
Are still getting patted down and waiting in line outside while we're playing.
So I wasn't happy about that, but like
you guys are going to start your set right when the doors open.
Yeah.
And be done.
Because that's great.
Be done after 3 songs.
Yeah. You'll be done when like a quarter of the people waiting outside are waiting to get in.
How much did you guys pay? $500 to play this 3 songs?
Oh, you guys got off lucky. But anyway, I think when we played like Doro and like Wednesday 13, we were more like middle-ish of the set, which was great.
It was like second
crowd.
Or third.
Yeah.
And
bigger
crowd, to get the feedback from a crowd that was not there to see you.
Yeah.
Was really fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Because there were a lot of people there that we played in front of who would just like, you know, cheer and scream and clap and shit like as soon as we were done. And
well,
I was like, I wrote that song and all these people are cheering.
Like, I know it sounds biased to say, but like a lot of the songs that we wrote, I think were legit good. So I think the feedback we're getting was genuine. Like, oh, this band rocks.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, you wrote half of the songs and I wrote half the songs at that time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
All 6 of our songs.
Right. And we wrote our second and last EP. The second album was was an EP when like, you know, but yeah, I think I wrote the majority of those. I think Frank wrote one of them.
He wrote at least a few, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, one of the more interesting bands that we opened for was at the Pride Festival. We opened for 80s pop sensation Tiffany.
October 10th, 2009.
Yeah. Well, it was on your birthday.
We were asked to play the Gay Pride Festival.
We did.
In Riverside.
And that was a great show, though.
But remember who opened for us was a performance company... Dance troupe.
Yeah. It was a weird kind of eclectic festival of like many different performance artists.
So they started and us. they did the 11 o'clock spot.
Yeah.
We had the 11:45 spot.
Right.
And we rocked that shit, man. Yeah. We kicked ass that was the first time we had ever played on a stage that big.
It was a big stage. I had room to like bounce around and like my performance style was like very like Burt McCracken kind of like I'm fucking all over the place. I'm like jumping, like I'm letting the music just like engulf me and I don't even know where I am at some points. I'm like
And by this point I had scaled down my drums to a very like succinct kit and I
that was out of necessity because we had to like play on the floor sometimes.
So for that stage I was like I really needed my giant drum kit.
Yeah.
But I think we rocked that shit. Mike got his picture in the paper.
Yeah, I was in the
next
paper. That was so cool.
And later in the day, Tiffany, 80s pop sensation, closed out that set around 10 o'clock that night.
That was weird.
Neither of us were there to see it because
we were out celebrating.
We were at the bar drinking.
Yeah.
And I was unfortunately relapsing into cigarette smoking that night after 6 months of not cigarette smoking.
You said that you wanted to have your one a year.
And that sure didn't last. So then that progressed into a year and a half of smoking regularly before I finally kicked it.
Thank goodness.
In 2011.
So we got one more question here, and this is very...
But check out our fucking album, our music. If you're still listening to it, tell us how shitty the recording was. Mike did a great job on it.
I did the best I could with the equipment that we had. Our first record, Broken Beauty, it should be on SoundCloud. That was like recorded with like professional equipment by your friend Cameron.
And if you're interested in my other band, Abolition, with my friend Cameron,
we
recorded two EPs, four songs each.
Who knows where that music is, though?
They're on my iTunes.
Oh. Well, it's not on the internet for people.
I know. I'd have to, like, Dropbox it for you or something.
Oh, okay.
Or Dropbox it to Mike.
If anyone's interested, let us know, and we'll find a way to get that to you somehow.
Yes. It sounds like 2008 meets early 90s.
It was really cool, like, post-grunge stuff, dude.
I really felt it was good.
Yeah.
But
it kind of
there was definitely no market for it in hindsight.
Well, you know, for people who grew up on the grunge scene, I think it's a lot more like an alternative sound.
Yeah.
I'm like an unofficial member of Abolition too.
Yes.
We played a show together. It was great and I asked if I could like join him on a song and like kind of like do screaming vocals on one of their more aggressive songs, Light Me Up.
And it was great. Except that all of the fans that I was friends with of Abolition thought it was a terrible mix.
Oh.
They were like, what was up with that guy screaming during your song? And I was like, well, like the other band he screams in. And you'd like, none of them had really...
They didn't get it.
None of them had come out of the 90s.
Oh, yes. Sure.
They were still stuck there with their musical taste. And there was like, oh, guys, the new Foo Fighters album, like, that's the only thing that they were listening to of the current age of 2007.
This music's so aggressive.
I know. So, yeah. So but that was back then.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for those questions, Brandon. He sent us another one this past week, and it's kind of like related to the way we do our reviews for the show.
Oh.
So when you guys listen to a new album for like the very first time, how do you listen to it? Just setting aside time to listen to the album with no distractions, either through headphones or loudspeakers? Do you listen while working, driving, or multitasking?
Whoa.
And which way is better for each of you to soak in that album, soak in all that album has to offer? Now, Adam, you have a very interesting process that takes a week long. Ugh. Can you explain that to people?
I wish it didn't. But no, I start the album whenever I can.
Sure.
And I listen to it once. And then I listen to it once per day.
So for you, like, are you sitting down with earphones?
Well, I don't devote my entire attention to the album until the eighth day. Hmm. All the 7 days leading up to that, I'll have it in my ears, but I'll be doing other things.
Okay.
Like I'll be driving to work, which I mean, I can absorb it while I'm driving to work.
Yeah.
Or I'll be working, but you know, usually my attention is on other things while I'm working
like you're
and
typing
I'm not absorbing the album. Like, or I'll be, you know, raising my daughter,
yeah.
you know, playing or watching TV with my daughter, listening to the album.
Yes.
Sometimes playing a board game while listening to the album.
Yeah.
Or I'll be taking my dogs on a walk. Mm-hmm. I can absorb the album a little bit better then.
Yeah, that's a lot less distraction.
But by the eighth listen, I need to have all distractions aside. And then that's when my numbers start to come in.
So you only listen to it, do you make it a point to only listen to it once a day?
Once a day,
okay.
Yes.
Because you have like multiple albums you listen to throughout the
yes,
day, too.
Yes, and I just don't have time for more than like three albums in a week.
You average like three albums a day?
Okay. But by the eighth listen, I'm pinpointing every single, like where every single track ends and where every new track begins, and that's when I'm starting to count.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I know I like this song that opens the album, so that's I put a one.
Okay.
And I hold my finger there.
Oh, wow.
The entire album.
For 40 minutes.
And then I'm like, well, there's two.
Yeah.
And then all the way up to whatever it ends up being, and then if like a song is one that I don't like, then I just keep my finger where it's at.
Oh, wow.
Or when I'm at work, then I can do a little tally mark.
And what are you doing at this point on your eighth listen? Are you setting aside time and like only listening to music, or are you still kind of like multitasking?
Well, usually I'm only listening to it, but if I'm at work and I have to multitask, then I just make sure that I'm keeping my mind as focused on the album as I can while I do other things.
That makes sense.
So, and then I come up with my number. I'm like, oh, 10 out of 12.
Cool.
Or whatever, 1 out of 13.
Yeah, you have a very interesting, very processed process, and I respect that too.
So I
remember like before when I started giving you music, and I was like, it's like, oh, what did you think of that thing? I'm not doesn't listening to it yet. Well, you haven't heard it at all? Like, it's been a week.
I've listened to it six times. I'm not done.
I've listened to it six times and I'm not done yet. but for me, before I used to just be like, oh, I'll listen to it a couple times and I can kind of get a good like bearing on how I feel about it.
Yes.
But because of, I'm very inspired by you actually. Like, I want to listen to it for a full week. Mean like multiple times a day. That may mean like once a day, and then like maybe I'm doing something. But for me, like, I don't like to start listening to an album unless I have very as little distraction as possible, and that usually means when I'm at work. So I can still get my work done. Mondays are like, I usually devote most of my time in my office, and I'm doing reports and stuff. That's like my busiest day.
Yeah, I don't do reports.
Yeah, so I'm usually doing that, so I can listen to an album with my earbuds in. And then I usually start on Mondays.
I still feel like even if you're doing other things, like your unconscious is still recording the album.
Yeah, and I got people like, you know, when I tell people that like, I listen to music at work, people will tell me, well, you can't completely focus on it. But that's true sometimes. A lot of the times when I'm listening to something I've heard like dozens of times, I can just kind of keep it in the background just to keep me entertained.
And you know it's really good if you can listen to it and you're rocking out to it while you're still doing other things.
Correct.
And you're just like, holy shit, this song is really good. And then you're click, 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 click on the keyboard.
Yeah. I've destroyed my computer monitor by headbanging too much. But most of the time I'm listening is while I'm at work. I also listen to it in the car. I don't like to listen to it first in the car because I don't like to, most of my attention is like on the road, of course. Mm. But I can't.
That works well for me because my commute is at least an hour.
Yeah.
So I get through an album and a half just on my commute.
Yeah, my commute's usually like 45 to an hour, depending on traffic. So yeah. I do listen to music on the way to work, but I don't like starting it on my drive.
Mm.
So I usually start it at work, and then I can start, like once I'm a little bit more familiar, I can start listening to it on the drives. I also go to the gym, which is very...
For 15 hours a week.
15 hours a week.
Or a day, really. So you can listen to a lot of albums there.
Well, I listen to a lot of albums at work, so that's the bulk of where I do like my listening and my evaluating. But I also go to the gym too, and like a lot of times I'll either have a playlist, or if I'm in the middle of a review, I'll continue my reviews there. And so I don't hold my finger up like Adam does. I just kind of.
It's usually next to me on my lap.
Yeah.
Or I hold it.
Okay.
And then I'll like scratch my face or something and be like, oh God, how many fingers did I just have up?
I have to listen to the whole album again.
And that will happen sometimes where I will lose track.
Oh my God.
And I'll have to go back and listen to it again just to make sure, because I want to be like sure. And I hate
Adam
that
does
happens.
That for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
For you guys.
Yeah. So mine's a lot less involved than Adam, but I've learned to like fully absorb. I've learned to appreciate fully absorbing it for a full week before I get my like full opinion. So when I say best album ever, I really mean it's the best. No, I don't mean it really.
No,
mean that.
It's not.
uh,
It's yeah, the best album I know, I'm and I know
my
right now.
I know my like my review score is bullshit. It's just best album ever or worst album ever. But that's right. kind of like that's because I want you to like listen to the review, you know, and you can kind of gauge where I am. Like, oh, is this kind of a middle of the road album? This is kind of a
right.
shitty album, or this is like a really good album. So like, I really want like most of my focus to be on the review that we give. Yes. Speaking of which, we probably have some reviews coming
is
up.
Is that the extent of it here?
Do you have any more to add?
I don't think so. Cool. It's just tough. I mean, I prefer to listen to it while I'm driving because then I'm not thinking about driving.
That's true. Then you're just mowing down pedestrians.
At least three
listening
per day.
To from first to last.
Well, it was like you listening to the first Seosin EP.
Oh, yeah.
You literally murdered like three children on,
I
your,
did.
On that drive.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard the story, anybody, but like when I got the translating the name Seosin EP from smartpunk.com.
He's
mailed
only
to my
told
house.
It 15 times.
No one's heard this
in
album.
The last year.
No one's ever heard this story, Adam. Let me tell my story. So I got it in the mail, and before when I used to work at the mall by my house, like that was like a 10-minute drive. So and the EP is 15 minutes long. So I pop that in, and when I get to work, I'm literally like sitting there for 5 minutes, and an additional 10 minutes
hyperventilating,
processing what I just heard because it was the most magnificent music I had ever heard up to that point. It's great.
And then he realized he had mowed down three toddlers on
yes.
his drive.
And I have had to change my name.
Yes.
Change my address.
Yes.
And I mourn. And like at least once a year, I go to the spot where I've mowed them all down.
Yes.
And lay flowers down to mourn them.
And they never,
I'm not a monster.
They never caught you.
No, to this day.
Because you changed the license plate.
Correct.
Right yeah. after that. You knew Anthony Green would have wanted it that way.
He would. Mm-hmm. He sends me thank you letters every year.
Thank you for not associating our music with
Speaking
death.
Speaking of thank
of
you
toddlers.
Letters, we want to send you guys a thank you letter because those are some great questions and great topics.
It was
and,
good.
Yeah, it was great. This turned out to be a good episode. I appreciate you guys doing that for us and continue supporting us, you know, from here on out.
Should I keep on promoting the video that has had zero views in the last 2 weeks?
Please go check out Adversity AF, the Come On Guys story, on YouTube. It's on our official YouTube page, Skinny Official. And we wrote, and Adam worked really hard at making a documentary based on the recording process of Curious.
Just the story of the band.
Yeah.
And then going into the creating of this album.
Correct.
Like, not really the recording process.
We didn't just make a comedy rap album. We created a story. We made a lore
yes.
based on these yeah. two idiots.
Because nobody wants, like, you know, tour or recording diary kind of documentaries.
Exactly.
You want individual interviews with grown men.
Yes. Dressed as other grown men.
Who want to tell a story about growing up and living
yes.
in Colton.
It's a cool documentary that kind of like pokes fun and like, you know, recording development diaries and behind the scenes, you know, behind the music shit, you know. It's fun.
I am. Come on, guys.
I am. Come on. I am. Come on, guys.
I made. Come on, guys.
I made. Come on, guys. Good stuff, man. Well, thank you guys for all the support you've given us these several months, several years, however long you've been listening. So if you enjoy our show, please share it with other people too. I can't stress that enough. Like that's if I can ask one thing of our listeners is if you enjoy it and you have people who you think might enjoy it or might enjoy the music that we all listen to, then share it with them. Cause there are a couple other scene related podcasts. There's Coronation, which I'm probably going to be checking out sometime soon. I just discovered them. But like,
so we can see what we're doing wrong.
Yes.
Yes.
So we can go. So like, but there's not a lot of like podcasts that's dedicated to like this kind of music. Cause I checked. So you know,
just lead singer syndrome. That's about it.
They don't count. That podcast.
It's not fair when you just look at your freaking contacts list in your phone and be like, "Hey, I should interview this guy for my podcast."
Yeah, I know lots of people. I can just honor.
I could call tons of people in my phone and interview them. But it'll
Speaking
be
of interviews, like we might be doing like more interviews. Like we kind of dropped the ball, like not interviewing people the past like year or however long it's been.
But, I'll say Mike did.
That was all me. but Brad Bradley, and he hasn't. I legit emailed him about interviewing Trapped.
They had a new album come out a year ago.
We weren't interested in it at all. But he asked us if we wanted to interview him, and we were like, okay, sure.
And I listened to Lane several times and was ready to interview her.
Yes.
And it never happened.
Maybe that was all partially our fault, but These promoters should get back to us when we email them. But anyway, we should get on to the end of this week's episode.
I have six albums to go over if you want to.
Well, let's go over that, damn it. This is our goddamn show.
That's my story, man. I went on to become the most famous rapper in the entire world. I've killed many people to get here. Oh, shit. Hold on. I probably shouldn't have said that part right there. Hey! Hey, yo! Hey, can we delete that part about me killing a motherfucker? No, the other one, man. Dude, I can't go to jail again. Fuck.
There's tons of everything that's
coming
out.
Oh my god, every album came out this past week.
I have like 3 weeks of new material to listen to before I can go back and listen to Mike's favorites of the past.
Okay, well, besides Last Young Renegade by All Time Low,
because I don't want to listen. Album? I don't want to review Being As Notion.
Okay.
I can review it now and tell you it's pretty bad.
It's decent. I like their new sound. I like their new direction.
Is there a new sound?
Yes. It's a lot softer.
Is there 14 tracks yet only 8 songs? 14 tracks. I'm not counting that backwards song because that doesn't count. Why would you want to listen to a backwards song?
But Adam, you have to extract it and then make the song go backwards to find the true meaning.
Did you try that?
No, but I'm going to.
I have no ability to do that, so I'm not going to even try.
Okay.
And I just deleted it from the running.
Okay.
And I deleted it from my iPod.
That's fine.
And the 5 other 1-minute interlude tracks that were not interesting either.
Sure.
It's an 8-song album, and 3 of
so
them...
So it's safe to say that Adam was not a fan.
3 of them were okay.
Of the highly anticipated Being As an Ocean album, Waiting for Morning to Come. That was ever delayed. Adam, he had to drain his E-Trade account.
I feel terrible
to pay for this album.
For whoever that was with the E-Trade account. It just isn't... Oh, man. It's bad. It's really not a good album at
really
all.
Not a good album?
No.
What's your final score out of 8?
I won't buy what they're always trying to sell me. Give up your passion for a 401k. Throw away your true calling. Who wrote that? Who said that? Yes, that's going on our album.
Maybe that's why Equal Vision would not put it out.
What the fuck, man?
Adam is not a fan.
No.
Wow.
I'd rather run into the wilderness and feel the wind and cold.
It's artsy, Adam. Don't you get it? It's artsy.
That just hurt my voice just doing that right now.
What was your final score?
3 out of 8.
3 out of 8. Okay.
8
Less
tracks.
Less than half. 3 out of technically
Equal
14.
Vision was right.
Wow.
Hashtag. All right. All right. Let's talk about Future Hearts.
Future Hearts. Okay. Let's talk about Future Hearts.
3-year waiting game that was All Time Low's near masterpiece.
Pretty Woo. Good.
Young Renegade definitely goes into a new direction.
Yes.
But this was them
change.
Still being pop punk enough.
Yes. There was just enough haircuts in there to I feel like to have the older fans enjoy. The
I
more
so.
Mature fans maybe.
The mature. The pushing 25 now.
Oh, so old.
Old as shit.
I mean, they could rent cars now.
I like that Cinderblock Garden song. It's pretty awesome.
That's a good song.
Future Hearts, the closer was great.
Yeah.
Man, did they like they're developing the pop.
Yes.
In a good way.
Uh-huh.
Not in a generic formulaic sort
girl,
of way.
Girl, I know you, girl.
You'll be the girl with the cinder block garden. It's fucking good. And I gave it like a 12 out of 15.
Wow.
I mean, this is adding the bonus tracks.
Right.
The Japanese bonus edition.
Yes. Those Japanese, they get all the good stuff.
There was one good bonus track. I didn't like the bottle and the beat song.
Yeah.
The other one was really good.
This is the B-side and we know it.
But hey, I think it was a 12 out of 15.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
For a band that you struggled to get to this point,
yeah.
That's a really good score.
Even like the best album prior, Dirty Work, was a 7 out of 12?
Yeah, which was...
So this is a huge
pretty
jump.
Pretty good for what that is.
Yeah.
Took a 3-year break and it really paid off.
Finally did it right. John Feldman.
Yeah.
Hitting all the notes in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Good. John Feldman's not a very good producer in my mind.
We'll save it. We'll save Last Gen Renegade for next week.
We'll do a post-mortem review on Last Young Renegade for next week's episode.
Emmanuel?
Oh, Black Earth Tiger.
Black Earth Tiger.
So what'd you feel about this for the follow-up of Soundtrack to a
it
Head
was
Rush?
A good follow-up yeah. to Soundtrack to a Head Rush.
You think it's about on the same level as Soundtrack to a Head Rush?
No. Okay. I mean, when you break it down, it's only like a one-track difference.
True, yes.
So that was like a 9 out of 10, and this I gave an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
But still, good songs.
Yes, I didn't feel like the songs were as strong as they were in Soundtrack to a Head Rush.
They were trying for a change.
Good effort.
Good effort.
The last you'll ever hear of this band.
And that band is gone. I don't know whatever happened. What became of them?
I know the lead singer said that he was struggling through some mental issues, which prevented them from recording, and then the band broke up.
Wow. So, and their Wikipedia page kind of stops at 2007-ish.
Right when this album came out.
Nothing after that.
Yeah.
It's like, and then they toured in 2008.
I saw them live, my very first Warped Tour.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that 2005?
Five. Yeah. Okay. It was right before the album came out.
And it was mentally ill?
It was mentally ill out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. So there's four albums. So, and then we had Too Close to Touch.
Ooh, their 2016 album.
Can't be myself. Haven't been myself.
I haven't been myself lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good album.
That is a good album.
It's really Nerve Endings Part 2.
It's one of those albums that like make me want to reevaluate my 2016 list.
Too Close to Touch. It was kind of just Part 2.
Yeah.
And just as good.
You know, I feel like it was a little bit more refined.
A little bit more refined.
It is a Part 2, you're right.
Yeah.
But like, ooh, it's just that much better, though.
I believe I gave it also a 9 out of 11.
Ooh, nice.
I think. I've forgotten my numbers already. But I'm looking forward to where this band goes because, man, do they sound like everybody. So
They do. They sound like everybody, but in the best way.
They should be on every single tour leading up to this.
They can
and
tour
maybe,
with every band because they sound like every band.
Maybe they'll refine their sound as well.
I hope so. This is a band I feel like can...
So the sixth and final one, Bright Eyes.
Are you starting on Bright Eyes?
I started Bright Eyes.
So you're not starting at like the beginning of his career. You're just kind of starting like at 2005's.
I'm awake.
Wide Awake and It's Morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, why you only gave me 3 of their 6 albums?
Because I asked you if you wanted them, and you said, just give me what you think is the good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So this was the right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Album number 4, I think.
I think so, yeah. He's
very political. And I didn't know it was going to be like almost all acoustic driven.
Yes, but that's...
You probably told me that, but I forgot.
But this is also the album where the song...
Road to Joy?
Not Road to Joy. Also a great song. What's the song that's like super popular?
I didn't recognize any of them.
This is the first day of my life. That one. Yeah, that one. That one's like a mainstream hit.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, kind of was very 2005 sounding or 2004 sounding.
It's glad like, I didn't die before I met you. I like that song a lot.
I think I did kind of recognize that one, but I don't know from where.
Probably coffee shops everywhere.
Maybe.
That's the perfect
Was it on like a commercial maybe?
I believe so.
That might have been what it was, like a stupid, you know, JCPenney commercial or something. But no, this was really good.
Yeah.
Was this one of your bests? Of all time?
It wasn't on my best of all time, but it is a great album.
Okay. So I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
The People's Key is next, right?
I think, but I have a lot of new stuff.
Oh, wait, no. Cassadia or whatever.
Cassadega?
Yeah, Cassadega in this one.
I think I'm going to be putting them off to get through all of the new stuff that's come out in the last few weeks.
So much new shit right now.
But it was good to take that little break in there. And I never realized I could tell somebody's personality disorder just by listening to the very beginning of their album where they talk.
So there's this woman.
Yeah.
And you know, and she's flying high above the Pacific Ocean. Like the way his voice breaks all the time is like both like cringy but endearing.
Douchey.
You think it's douchey?
Mm-hmm. I can tell exactly everything about his personality just by that minute and a half intro. But he translates it well into music.
It's a very interesting sound. Yeah.
Now, he has like tons of like solo stuff and side projects.
Monsters of Folk. This is one of his side projects.
Yeah. Okay. Have you listened to very much of him outside of Bright
Just
Eyes?
Just his solo albums, which are very Bright Eyes-esque. So I don't know why it's not under the Bright Eyes name.
Just with, sure without that his, stupid background band.
Yeah, I'm sure he has his mentally ill reasons.
Yes.
So, yeah, great. That's a lot of stuff that you've been listening to. So I caught up on a bunch of recommendations from our listener David, who gave us the idea to be like, oh, maybe you guys should come up with an album of the month.
Oh, yeah.
So he sent me his list of album of the month from like January to June. Hmm. These are all stuff I haven't heard of before. So I went ahead and listened to some of these.
Luckily, he gave us like some good music to listen to when we were going through our dull moments of
Correct.
June and July.
Exactly. So for January,
Tiger's
I listened
Jaw is
to
incredible.
The album Wester, W-S-T-R, their album Red, Green, and In Between. So it's kind of like a pop. It's kind of like a punk, more punk pop. I don't want to call it pop punk. It's more punk leaning.
Punk with pop elements.
Yes, exactly.
Never been done before.
No band has ever done this before. And I thought it was pretty decent. Okay. You know, I wouldn't say that was the best album of January, for at least in my opinion. So
Souvenirs was probably the best album of January.
I really like that AFI album as well.
Well, yeah, that was obviously.
Hearts Like Lions from February, If I Ever Speak Again. Kind of the same way I felt about it. I thought it was pretty decent. Kintsune, Kitsune, with their album Braver. Hmm. I really like this album. This one came out in March. I think it's like only 8 tracks long. Not too long of a listen. Restless Streets with Together. Now, this was an album that I found above average, but the song Twin Flame on this album is one of the best songs of the year. And then finally, Idola from June. Which is a band that he described as like similar to that Dance Gavin Dance sound, which yes. You can tell that this band listened to Downtown Battle Mountain back in 2006. I'm like, we need to do the same thing.
We need to be in a band.
To Speak, To Listen.
Yay.
Again, great sound. You know, if you like that Dance Gavin Dance funk core.
Funky core. They were a band that keeps on popping up everywhere. Like, it was a suggested band.
Yeah, and they're a band
Facebook.
That tours with every funk core band out there right now.
Do they have how many albums? 2?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up because I've just been focusing on these albums as well.
They're one that I'd also like to listen to before the end of the year, if possible.
So I don't know if you got a chance to listen to this, but The Amulet by Circus Survive.
I just started it on Wednesday.
Okay, we could talk about that next week then.
Okay.
Did you listen to the Foo Fighters?
I just started that this Wednesday.
Okay. What are you listening to right now?
Foo, Amulet, and Inter Shikari.
Nice. Okay, we can talk all about all of those next week then.
And I'm kind of meh on all 3 so far.
Okay.
But, you know, that's where I'm usually at 4 listens in. I'm just like, I hate everything that this is. is. And by listen 6 and 7, I'm like, I fucking love everything about it.
So I'll just briefly end my sound off by talking about the newest album from Lights, Skin and Earth.
Ooh, I will be getting into that the following week.
Okay, so we can go into more in-depth discussion.
And so already by your body language and tone. Hmm? Already by your body language and your tone, I can tell it was not up to standard.
I was a little underwhelmed with this one. So I don't want to talk too much because I don't want to paint your feelings of it before you go into it, but
does it sound like a Lights album?
It does sound like a Lights album.
Okay,
but I think that's the bad part. I feel like
those were the elements of Little Machines that bothered me, even though there were some really good songs on there.
Little Machines, I feel like, has a lot of great songs on it. It's not better than Siberia,
right?
But
she's getting older.
Oh, she's so old. She's late 20s now.
She's like 30.
Oh no!
So
her
thin.
Life is over.
Her weight is drastically approaching her age.
And so if you don't know, this is like the concept her first concept album.
Right.
She wrote a 4-issue comic miniseries that coincides with this. I only got through the first one because I could not stand how up its own ass it is.
I love this story. This comic will be told a folklore of the skinny for years to come.
Oh boy!
So you never got into episode 2 or whatever?
Have not read issues 2, 3, and 4. I don't know if I want to though. Like, I was hoping that the album would push me to read more of it, but
like, is that what she wanted you to read the comics first and then the album, or vice versa?
The comics were coming out ahead of the comics, ahead of the album, to get you like prepared for the concept and the world of this album is being told through.
In
E N, he looks just like Lights. all the main characters are just people that Lights knows.
is there a baby?
Oh, that's named Shuttle.
Shuttle. That's what I was thinking too.
No, but maybe I will get into 2, 3, and 4. But like at this point, I have no desire to do it. But I am on repeat listening of Skin and Earth. I never said the name of the album. It's growing on me a little bit more. So maybe it's just the familiarity is making me like enjoy it more. But I but unlike the last two albums, which I listened to first and like I fell in love right away, like this isn't giving me that right. same. Mm.
Maybe it has to grow on you like a slow cancer,
like a skin cancer.
Yes. Mm. And maybe, I don't know, you have to check your gender biased.
What?
Just to think if some, like, you know, guy was doing something
if
like
Owl
this.
Owl City wrote this?
Sure.
Sure.
I never listened to Owl City, so I don't know exactly.
He's just Boy Lights. It's
if
the same
he
music.
Was doing it, would it be as pretentious as attractive young girl who you have massive boner for the last 10 years?
Who, in an alternate reality, I'm her husband.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, you're never gonna want to marry Boy Lights.
No.
So you have to check your boner
okay.
before you turn on the album.
So by the time that you listen to this album, we can talk about it a little bit more. I'll have checked my boner privilege.
Yes.
At that point, and maybe we can have a little bit more in-depth discussion on it. But for now,
probably.
It started off slightly underwhelming, but I'm warming up to it.
Okay. Is there up-tempo pop ditties like on the last album that annoyed the shit out of me?
I thought you said you didn't listen to this album yet.
Oh. I'm asking, are there?
Up-tempo pop ditties.
Those ones usually drive me bonkers, but like her slower stuff I tend to like more.
There are some really good slow songs on this one.
Okay.
As far as like, you mean like Up We Go?
Yeah.
Hmm. There's nothing like Up We Go.
Okay.
There's a lot
That album, or that song really kind of... I don't know. Got under my skin. Song. I know you love it.
I love that song, dude.
And I couldn't stand it.
Up tempo pop ditties. That's like the name of that's the nickname I give to my penis. But thank you guys for checking out this week's episode of The Skinny. Once again, it's been a great 250, and we hope that you guys will continue on to support us. Share the show if you really enjoy it.
So, like I say, like
all we can ask.
With every milestone, I always say, like, here's to another like 50 or another 100.
Sure.
Here's to another 250.
Goddamn right.
Are we going to keep on doing this? Because your life is going to take you in places. Because you have like a new girlfriend, and you know who knows what her life is going to do.
Yes.
You're like trying to get extra jobs because you're living on the streets now.
Yep.
So I mean,
poor garbage.
your life will take you places, and who knows what's going to happen with my stupid wife's job and where that will take us.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, here's to another 250.
Well, don't we always say that like we're gonna keep doing this because it's not fun anymore?
Oh yeah. But it like it stops being fun just about every summer. But I power through, goddammit.
Every summer is it just like
that's usually when I'm just like I have little to give at this point.
Oh, okay.
And I need to figure out what the hell I'm doing. So I'm going to start a new project, like a documentary, and maybe people will like it. And they
if
don't.
If you don't want to do an episode, just tell me, man. You don't have to like force yourself to do that.
But I need the outlet.
Oh, okay.
But I want to like, you know, still keep creating. We have other documentary ideas.
That's true.
And who needs
music videos to make?
Who needs to write the script for that is the real question.
Both of us, maybe.
Well, I can't sit down and write every single script.
I know you can.
So you start it and I'll finish it.
Okay, that works too. More projects coming soon from The Skinny. But again, thank you guys for the support. And we'll see you guys next week. But I don't want to get you the thing. Okay, I'll get you the thing. And I'll continue to stall while I pull this out and give it to Adam.
Pull out your up-tempo ditty.
My pop ditty.
So that I can read it.
So, like we say every single week on The Skinny with Mike and Adam.
Did you say we say?
Did I say that?
You did.
Like we say every week on The Skinny with Mike and Adam.
When the baby is gooey, Facebook wants to see.
So many likes.